All right. Well, thanks, John. So I started out at Garden City as an area agronomist about a year and a half ago. And so, of course, we've got to talk at these meetings. And so I tried to decide, well, what am I going to talk on? I'll only have 1 year of data. So I thought, well, varieties have to be a good thing to talk on. You can always see some differences there. So, but this also got into a little bit more involvement with the agents, a little bit of things like that I'd really like to touch on. So I'm just going to go over kind of how it started, how we got the agents involved, kind of their perception on it, give you a little bit of data on the study itself and where that's going, show you some results there, and probably spend a little bit of time on what I've learned that I probably should have done the first time. So, that's always an important part. I'm still in the learning process. So, what I did when I started out there in the southwest area of Kansas, the first meeting that I had, a cowboy type guy pulled me aside and he said, "We need someone from K-State to show us some grazing data in the south central part of Kansas." Now, John had a couple papers he wrote, was that a year or two ago, where Kurt Thompson and others had been collecting data from further out in the west, but these guys wanted something that really represented their area. And so that interest in grazing cattle was really important to them. It wasn't that foreign of a concept for me because I grew up about 40, 45 miles south of where I had that meeting that day, and my dad's mentality goes right along with that producer's mentality. And so I kind of took it to heart, and I decided, this year I am going to put out grazing trials, and I'm going to try to continue those and improve my management of those and get them as effective as I can for this area. So I started asking the guys, well, why is this important to you to see it in this area? Well, they were getting data from other sources. It could be to say, let's just pick the variety that's been working for us. So what that means is, for some of our guys in south central Kansas, they're growing Jagger and Jagaleen, and they were released, what, in the mid-90s, 95, 97, I believe. So they were seeing that historical performance of a variety, and they liked it. And so they're sticking with older varieties because they know how they'll perform. Some of these guys are saying, well, I'm going to go based on what the breeders say this should do, even though it hasn't really been shown in the field to be a good grazing variety, but it ought to be, so we're just going to grow it. And then other guys say, well, we just get data from down in Oklahoma because they do a lot of grazing work down there. Just get it from a different region that may not be quite as representative as this area. So we had guys getting older varieties, varieties that might not be quite as appropriate for their area as it could be. Well, I got this idea, and I talked to a couple of county agents. One of them was Clark County agent. I'll show a map in a little bit. He had been doing grazing variety trials for years. Even the agent before him was doing them. So he was an obvious choice. Then I talked to another couple of county agents that were kind of cowboy types. And the one in the picture, there's Tim Marshall, Barber County. He also had a trial this last year. And it really got them engaged. We have an animal science cowboy type guy who says, I don't really understand or appreciate the agronomic side of wheat production, but when you can stick cattle out there and you can make me think, how are these varieties doing when it comes to grazing performance? Now then they get really interested and they really like that. And so what it did for them was gave them some level of ownership to the plots. They enjoyed going out and working it. They enjoyed planting them. They enjoyed even going out there and just putting the fence out. So what happened was we started out with these two plots, Barber County and Clark County. This year, Barber County decided, well, we had enough interest last year. I think we want two. And then this year, just the other day, actually last Friday, the Barber County agent said, hey, I've got four locations lined up for us next year. Said, well, we don't want to get quite that excited about grazing trials because they are a lot of work, but the interest is there and the enthusiasm is there. We also had one in Comanche County last year. The guy decided not to graze. We're going to try it again in Comanche County this year and see how well that will work. So some of the comments that the agents gave about this, they said, well, you know, it gives me an interest or a bridge to agronomy from the animal science. They like the fact that the producers in that area are saying, you know, this is something I need and I want. I like it. And so they're kind of patting the agents on the back. They feel more involved. And it's really increased our trafficking, if you could call it that, in and out of the plots, phone calls, coffee shop talk, and I say calls from around the state. We've even had calls from Nebraska, Colorado, asking questions about grazing trials down in South Central Kansas, which is interesting to me because there's no way I could see that applying to Nebraska or Colorado. But the interest is there. A lot of guys do custom cutting in that area. Custom cutters are talking about our grazing plots along the way, saying, yeah, this is a pretty cool idea. So when we set this out, our objectives were started out pretty simple. We just wanted to take varieties that represented the area and grow them in an ungrazed fall graze and a spring graze situation. Just, first of all, let's just see if we have a yield decline, you know, just as one major objective. Next, maybe we could look at biomass differences in that area. If you can't make grain, make hay or graze it out. So those two are pretty important. And then I got a little bit crazy and started thinking, well, could we evaluate preferential grazing? Could we go out there and look at how much of these varieties are left, you know, do some kind of a difference between ungrazed and grazed? And, well, that didn't work out well because we stock them so heavy, there's nothing there at that time of the year. So that didn't end up happening, but we got some pretty good stuff. We chose producers that would graze the wheat, or said they would, put the plots on the edge of a field, and so essentially what we did is put a fence out there through a third of our plot area, and then we just moved the fence twice. Well, as we know, there are times where we don't have enough fall growth, so in one of our plots last year, we only had a spring graze plot because there wasn't enough to turn cattle out on them in the fall. Plots were 200 foot long, two or three replications depending on location, and we'd cut the biomass at mid-bloom and report the weight on a dry weight basis. Harvest area was 10 foot squared, and I think I found out that might not be enough area. Earlier, if you were in the room, you heard Dr. Cox talking about field scale trials being the way we ought to go. We had too much variability in that small of a harvest area, even though I know a lot of people who are harvesting on much, much smaller areas and getting it to come out. And then we just collected grain yield, and harvest area again was whatever was left over minus our border areas. We just took out the border areas and harvested the entire plot. These are the two locations that we had this last year down half a mile off the Oklahoma state line, actually in Harper County, but managed by the Barber County agent, and one down right on the state line in Clark County. And then this year, what we just planted were the two same locations, and we added one north of Coldwater, Kansas, and one in the northern part of Barber County. So getting to some data, it's a lot of data that unfortunately in some cases doesn't mean a whole lot. We've got variety and grain yield here, and I put the significance on all the graphs along the bottom. What we see in Barber County, we did have a significant difference due to variety, but there was no grazing difference at all. So is that good or is that bad? I think if you ask a farmer, it might be a great thing because then he's totally limitless on what variety he grazes because there's no difference in grazing, or how long he grazes it, I should have said. But either way, we did see some of these differences. We saw some varieties perform better, like Armor. Saw some like 2137, kind of fall. What happened to us last year? We had some rust move in. And so some of these varieties were hit by rust, and we have those documented. And essentially, you can, if you're familiar with your varieties much, you could actually just take the lower ones and say, yeah, rust probably really affected those varieties, like Jagger. And we would know Jagger's one that should be a very good grazer from past performance. And so one learning opportunity was, maybe we should be spraying fungicides on these plots, even though our producers typically don't do that, because we did see some of those other factors influence our grain yield. Well, one way I decided to try to help illustrate some of the differences in grain yield was just to say, what did grazing do to our yields? So I've taken the ungrazed minus the grazed yields and plotted them. In this case, in Barber County, we did not have a significant difference there. But one thing that's interesting to note, even though there's a lot of variability, just note right here where post rock is. And when we get to this graph for Clark County, notice where post rock is. Clark County grain yield, again, variety along the bottom, grain yield. This is no grazing in fall plus spring grazing. Again, we didn't have the fall-only grazing because there was just about a half a month of grazing opportunity in there. Variety was significant. Grazing was not. There was a significant interaction, but in the interest of time, I don't think we can dive into that one and get much useful information out of it. So in this plot, there was very little rust. We did see some of these, like Jagaline, do a pretty decent job. We saw some, like Everest, Longhorn, do a pretty poor job. Now, again, if you go back to your varieties and what we know about wheat varieties, Longhorn is one, and actually the reason that it's in this plot is because a neighbor said, I've grown Longhorn for years, it's my grazing wheat, I would like to see it in that plot. And so we grew it just for that reason. These guys are probably not too concerned about the grain yield hit that we're taking on these varieties, because if they get grain, that's great. If they don't, they want to at least get the pounds on the cattle. So that's something just to take an interest in, and then also look at, even though there's not a grazing difference, this makes me question, if I get enough years of data in this data set, will some of these varieties still have a yield improvement when we graze? Because some of these numerically, before you put statistics on it, you start to see that happening, start to see that consistent on some of these varieties, and I find that kind of interesting. Especially in some of these farther west locations, we see that happen where we're more limited on moisture. Looking at the change in yield again, what did grazing do to us? Notice where post rock is again. Post rock was the worst one, where in the last location it was the best one. So very, very different location differences there. I'm getting close on time, so I'll move right ahead. Biomass yield, similar story, except we saw so much variability. We really couldn't get an accurate feel for what the biomass was doing in these plots. No significance in Barber County, no significance in Clark County. That's something that we're going to look at a little bit more. We have this variability moving east to west. I think that variability is due to a large part on when the rains came, how the rains came, how we were influenced by things like rust. So we're going to try to take out some of that stuff by adding more sites across that area and also spraying some fungicides on that. I'm going to keep collecting more data. With the interest that we have, the positive feedback from producers and county agents, I don't see this ending until I get worn out, and I don't know when that'll happen, but I'm sure it will eventually. One of the other things we're going to do throughout the season, we're going to collect the reflectance data. We're going to try to get some indirect measure of biomass, try to see if we can capture some better differences, even when we have very heavy grazing on that. If we can, we're going to collect biomass in the fall, and then again at mid-bloom and increase that harvest area, continue with everything else as before. So, have time for a question? One question. Three of them at once. Who wants to take it?
How
Go ahead.
do you analyze your data when you only have two reps for some of those plots?
We combined sites in some cases. So at this point, it's a relatively small data set. And so what we would hope to do is, over time, as this data set builds, we're going to combine everything in geographical regions, similar rainfall regions, and use all of those to increase the statistics on it. But we tried to get producers to cooperate with us on three reps, and it wasn't happening. They said we were using too much room, and it was getting pretty significant. I mean, we're dividing each plot into three grazing timings, and 10 feet wide and 22 varieties per location. It gets pretty big in a hurry, and so we were discouraged from that. Okay, thank you very much.